Okay. I'd like to welcome everybody to the April 1st special meeting of Marysville Board of Education work session. I'd like to call it to order at, it's actually 4:37. Can we have the roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Mr. Pleasant?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. All right. Moving right into our work session. We're going to be discussing our board protocol. We're going to be reviewing the district strategic plan and then also hopefully talking about some community outreach plans for our information about the early college high school. But before we get started, I'm not real good. Sometimes I forget what I want to say, so I'm going to apologize for kind of reading this, but I just wanted to say that I really wanted to thank everybody because I think, you know, we've started out and everybody's been very willing to get involved and to put in time and effort and have some go to some OSBA seminars, things like that. And I also realize that for our new board members, there's an awful lot of change that's happened since Amy and I came on the board. And it seems like, if anything, it's getting busier than ever, And so there's things that Amy and I were familiar with. We helped hire Diane. At least you guys were involved with hiring Todd. So, that gives us some commonality there. But I just think, we started with some training. One of the areas we discussed at our last board meeting was the board protocols that we approved back in 2012. And so one of the things I really wanted to focus on today was continuing that discussion and really focusing on communications and chain of command, because I do think that's an area that causes a lot of confusion. It's also where, we have people that are anxious to be board members and want to help, improve things and stuff. And just trying to make sure that we're all on the same page and understand that difference between being visionaries for the district and being managers for the district. And that's, it doesn't mean that you can't listen to people. It doesn't mean that you can't share your ideas. But there are some areas that we have to be careful about how much we get involved. And so I think that's one of the main reasons, one of the main focuses of our protocol. And so I think with that, maybe because Andy is here to help us, maybe we could start with the district strategic plan.
I thought you were going to ask me to talk about protocols for a minute.
Oh, if you'd like to do that, you can talk about protocols. But if you'd like about the district strategic plan, we can discuss our strategy, yep, goals as a board, and then talk about our protocols after that.
And actually,
it fits perfectly into what
you're
talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we've, kind of like I talked in the board meeting, we've kind of run this through a bunch of different groups through the fall. We had kind of our last community
summit. Is that okay, guys? Mm-hmm. Only because.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A kind of last community group, and we're kind of at the point we're at a final kind of draft, which is incredibly exciting for Andy, I have to tell you. So what we want to do is kind of step through that with you today, but our thought would really be this would be the strategic plan for the district, and then we would start to work on a work plan for the Board of Education. So, and that's what every building will be doing as well. So this is, where we're headed as a district, but then each building will build a work plan, in essence, telling us how they're going to get there for their building. And one of the reasons we went that direction really was because community partners, for example, was a conversation. Well, we talked about increasing community partners by 5 in each building. Well, some buildings might already have 5 and some might not have any, so identifying 2 solid partners might be realistic. So that's kind of the reason we went with kind of this driving document, and then we'll be working with building principals, and we have a couple samples. The work plan is very similar to my work plan. So we copied Andy's work plan and a blank work plan to kind of give you an idea. Now, I don't think we'll get to our work plan and actually, those kind of things tonight, but we at least wanted to kind of give you an idea of what we were thinking, and we can certainly modify that in any way that makes sense. So I'll let Andy kind of step through. From the moment we came up with 4 areas to start with. And then that came through when I first got here. I did a Perceptions of a New Superintendent report, which is about, I don't know, 15 pages long. It was a variety of input and just really my perceptions coming in the door from, I had different staff meetings, I had community meetings, business advisory, different groups I had talked to, and I really asked two questions. Number one, what are we most proud of? What do you really like to hang your hat on about our district? And number two, if you had a magic wand and you could change one thing, what would it be? And I also preface it with, you can't say the new superintendent. You have to pick something besides me. And so really these categories were driven by that work. So there were some very clear themes, as you probably understand. Financial was one. Communication was one. Community partnerships and student achievement really became those areas that we talked about. We decided, for functionality purposes, we didn't see communication as a separate category, that we really thought communication should be embedded in each one of those plans instead of out in isolation, that each one of those plans in itself needed communication and a two-way communication. So this is kind of a result of that work. It's been through teachers, principals, actually secretaries, some custodians, district leadership, and community leadership.
The net has been cast wide. I think importantly what Diane said is, though, that this is still a living, breathing document, truly. And so our showing this to you is in no way, shape, or form saying to you that we're not open to changes. We are. Now, to her point, this has been vetted quite a bit. But today, Diane and I went through it, and we did some modifications based on the feedback that the steering committee, I like to call the community steering committee, that you two attended, and so that feedback is represented on here. So, you know, one of the things I just noticed, we have a new logo. We need to change that.
We do have a new logo.
Yeah, I mean, just for example. So, April 1, that's today. Getting to the meat and potatoes, we didn't really modify any of this.
And this was all sent out to us. I think it was before our last meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
everybody should have a digital copy.
In essence, I'll slow down. Okay. I didn't mean to rush through it. So I apologize. So, table of contents. This outlines, you know, the pages of what's in existence. So we have a preface. The ESC helped guide and steer the process, and it outlines a little bit about some of our benchmarking that we did in advance, the transformational team setting the stage up for this aspirational product that we have, mission, and I'm not sure that that's what we're calling it, but commitment statements, and we changed this to value statements. That was one change we made. Parameters, and then the goals. The four goals is Diane outlined. So this is the preface, and it really what it does is it gives a little background on what Diane's leadership vision in creating a transformational representative group of teachers and what we did. We benchmarked, learned, researched together, grew as a together. You know, one of the things Diane said from the very beginning is it can't be Diane's plan. It can't be, it has to be Marysville's plan. It has to be our plan. And that collective efficacy and unity of purpose and this belief that we're in this together and we're part of something bigger than any one person is critical in the creation, authorship of any strategic plan. And so that this preface outlines that. Again, the ESC was involved in facilitating this, Ted Kanapke, who I think you know and you certainly know. So that's a little background on that. And a little bit about their process of creating a strategic plan. Again, components, benefits, and a little bit about some of the content. So one of the things that we first changed is this mission. So, you know, why do we exist, or what is our slogan as a district? We've had how many, Diane, over the last 6 months? We've had, honestly, 100 different, and it continued to morph down. Mm-hmm. So, like, the last 10 have been very similar to what you see before you, with the one change of this last word. It was everything from innovate, collaborate, everyone seemed to agree on. It was his final word to achieve, succeed,
excel.
And most recently it was succeed.
Right.
However, we have changed it to inspire. Innovate, collaborate, inspire.
So one of the things we did as a test is ask principals what our mission was, and no one knew. I mean, mm-hmm. certainly they could talk in terms, but our defined mission that's on our website, mm-hmm. and interestingly enough, when I applied here, there were two different mission statements in two different places. So our goal was really to get it down to, in essence, a tagline, things that people could, a statement about... what we wanted to do and what we believed was important.
Yeah, answers the question, why do we exist?
Right.
Innovate, collaborate, inspire.
So, and we felt, I think too, I'm sorry, that applied to our staff, our students, our community. It's just, it's all encompassing.
So when you were doing all this work and kind of...
pulling my hair out.
Moving between all these different groups, mm-hmm. getting... input and so on, is that entirely separate from the students themselves, or were they also
we had some
invited
student
to discuss mm-hmm. some of that?
Yeah, we had some student groups as well.
Yes. So would this mission then encompass them as well?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
So on our webpage, and I think some of you may be familiar with the value statements that are on the webpage or have been in existence, mm-hmm. And I believe you all, we do call them value statements.
Belief statements. Mm-hmm.
So we were calling them commitment statements. Yeah. On the webpage, they're called belief statements. Our current terminology is value statements. Again, something just I'm pointing out to you. And then we looked at these, and we also cross-referenced what was on the web page to what is on here. There are some common themes, without a doubt. There's a lot of crossover, and then there are some here also that weren't necessarily represented either.
So now are those going to go over to the web page? Are they going to...
As soon as we vet through it...
This entire document.
Everybody, this document, and then each building's work plan... And our
then
work
we'll just
plan
start meshing
will all be posted for public work.
That's right. So, and then parameters. A parameter is a core value belief that every single kid can learn. Excellence is always expected, and again, we will support innovation. So, first goal, and much of this is... in under goal one, wordsmithing. I mean, we didn't make sweeping changes from what you two saw the other day, but we took some of the feedback and simplified, quite frankly. So, for example, the changes here solely represent this. There actually were 5 bullets. We made it 4, and in essence, we combined the 4th and 5th because there were, in our judgment, there were some redundancies, and the feedback we received were there were some redundancies. And so we combine the two. So the way it's organized is there's goal one here, and there's, in essence, 2 subset goals under goal one, right? So goal one is student performance, student learning, and then we've devised that out into growth and then opportunity for innovation. The way in which these would be accomplished, so to Diane's point, would be, let's pick Navin. I just randomly picked it. So Lynette, Lewis, the principal, and Navin would have a work plan for student achievement, student growth. And things that she would focus on would be, or I would imagine, would be things around grade card. So third, fourth grade reading, guaranteed, collecting data on reading achievement, reading growth, so that when the students take the third grade reading OAA in the spring, she knows before the test is administered who is and isn't going to pass. And in September, she knows what students need remediation, additional time and support in order to close the achievement gap to better ensure success of all. And she does, by the way, so that's great news. But we just need to continue to monitor that and continue to collect more reliable and valid data in that area so that there are no kids that ever fail that test. That would be an example of a work plan. And then the evidence you'd furnish is the data around the reading stated goals for third grade reading OAA. Ultimate data, right, is the results of the third grade reading OAA. But there ought to be volumes of data leading up to that corresponding evidence that she's providing more. The two variables are time and instruction. Time and instruction. So she's providing more time and instruction for those kids that we know they can learn. They just need more time and instruction. So there's evidence of her making strategic decisions based on the data to collect to provide that for kids. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so financial stability, sustainability, and effective use of resources. We really didn't modify this too much. Diane, help me. Is that?
No, the feedback was pretty positive. Some of the things we've spent time about developing a plan, we've kind of started that a little bit with communication and the newsletters, looking for additional opportunities for revenue, and articulating that clear levy cycle. So we talked about, you know, when I came on board, it seemed to be a surprise that we were looking for more money. So we're trying to talk about that every newsletter in some capacity that goes out to the community. Those will go out four times a year. That's just one step in a whole piece. But this area is certainly where I see a pretty developed work plan with Todd and the board in particular. And myself, I didn't mean to exclude myself, but on how we develop that and what that looks like. If you remember last year, the two of you, I kind of gave you that sheet, and I still have it on what they declare or what they call good times to be on the levy for school districts.
Yes.
And so keeping those in mind and meshing our forecast with that to see, the best time for school districts to go on. So. The other thing that you see at the bottom is really looking at paying off that debt, which, you know, we're trying to work on a plan for that. Looking at the PI forecast and identifying the short-term and long-term needs. So really it's about, making a plan and then working our plan. Right now we don't really have a plan. So.
Next is, now we did do, based on the feedback, again, most recently, we did do some changing to this. So this deals with school environment. And again, under this, there are two objectives. The first is fostering, nurturing, safe learning environment for all students, staff, and community. And in essence, the primary feedback that we realized here was the specificity of the strategies, very specific work plan-esque. In other words, we'll reduce work orders by 8%.
Right.
That would be in a work plan for increased efficiencies. What we wanted here was, hey, let's develop a process whereby we can enter in work orders, track work orders, monitor work orders, prioritize work orders, disaggregate work orders in terms of the type that they are, and also monitor the number of work orders over a 12-month period. You know, are there cycles? What does that look like? You know, and then over 2-3 years. Let's start with that. And then get into rates of efficiency. Does that help? So we tried to make them more broad stroke, as opposed to granular. The second objective, we will maintain facilities so that they are environmentally and structurally sound. Again, same thing here. We tried to make these a little more broad stroke as opposed to finite. Any questions about any of that?
No. Okay.
I'm wondering, Andy, on, even though we revised it today, examine organizational maintenance and custodial flow. Should that be examine and reorganize? You know what I mean? We're not just going to look at it, right? Or am I getting too picky? We're probably right back to where we were this morning, so just leave it.
Well, There's some assumption there by examining a potential consideration would be to reorganize.
You're probably right.
Okay. Developing community partnerships. So there's one objective, increase our community partnerships in all schools.
Is that me?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just turn it off.
This we didn't make sweeping changes, but we did make some modifications. For example, our conversations are, when you look at these indented bullets here, there are some specificity there, and you know there are some, depending upon who you talk to, there it could be that some would say this level of specificity shouldn't be in a strategic plan. Others would say, well, it's indented, you know, it might be helpful. We chose to keep it in this specific case. However, it is the kind of stuff that could be in a work plan. We also discussed how we viewed these community partnerships as really, really important, but somewhat different than, say, like the Honda partnership that we have for the early college STEM high school.
Or the Y partnership.
Mm-hmm. Questions? Mm-hmm. I think importantly, you know, I like to use the corny metaphor of dreaming that we're going to the moon is aspirational, and analogous to some of the overall lofty goals, getting there and devising the rocket that will get us there is the work done through the work plans and the corresponding evidence and vertical monitoring that would occur from the board to Diane, you know, to me, to principals, to coaches, teachers, is the way that we get to the moon collectively. And when there's that unity of purpose, you can accomplish anything. When there's not, it's very difficult. And so therein lies that tease between the granular details that some want to include in a strategic plan versus the aspiration of, hey, we're going to the moon. That's the goal. The work plan is how you're going to actually monitor progress towards achieving that goal. Certainly, again, the grade card in 2014 and the foreseeable future will always be an external measure of how we're doing, but one measure, but certainly an important one.
I mean, I appreciate all the time that went into it, and I also think, you know, you've got that grade card coming up, but I think what's exciting is that we can create some goals that surpass the requirements at a state level or federal level, or, you know, I mean, we're just kind of taking charge of our own future, I guess, which I like.
So what are we going to do? I mean, I've seen hundreds of these. What are we going to do so this doesn't get put in a folder on a computer or three-hole punch and put in, and we close it up and say, okay, now that's done.
Yeah, so a couple things. We're pretty good at working our plans at set with principals. We review their work plans once a month.
Yeah.
Sit down. We do different feedback things at the old middle school. We were over there for a while. They brought their work plans and gave feedback to one another. So we hold the principals accountable for pulling off that work pretty much on a monthly basis. And their plans currently are aligned to my work plan, which the two of you set in on my evaluation part. So there's alignment that way currently. So the idea would be to continue that, so they bring their data to support that or whatever it is on that, what that might look like. It doesn't have to be, you know, an assessment data, but it could be whatever information that supports, you know, whatever they're working on. So the one was like increased parent involvement. So elementary-wise, we saw that different than high school. That's why we left in general. So elementaries were really talking more about PTO meetings and PTO membership and engaging people in Beyond Scarecrow Night at Mill Valley, but being able to get them to come to math curriculum night. So different strategies they were doing that. So they may bring, you know, the number of people that attended that. So we do a pretty good job of
monitoring
that.
You monitor what you value and you value what you monitor, and that monitoring is critical in any organizational success. Again, and Diane does as good a job as this as anyone I've seen, having narrowly defined goals and unity of purpose that are an inch wide and a mile deep, as opposed to a mile wide and an inch deep. And that is a significant difference in successful organizations that move the needle and other organizations that don't. And so I think that, you know, it's a really important question. And I think the systems that you structure in order to have a unity of purpose, continually to revisit, and monitoring what you value and value what you monitor are the ways in which it doesn't become just another document and a binder.
I know when we were out at Raymond and they gave their presentation, I mean, part of their presentation was her work plan, you know, and so to me that was evidence. It's right there in front of them, and they're reviewing it, and, you know, as long as the people that they're responsible to don't forget to ask them about it. I mean, it just kind of starts from the top and filters down to the bottom, and I think that's pretty good evidence that it's not just a piece of paper stuck in a binder somewhere.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's actually something that's driving their work.
You know, I think another just non tangible, quantifiable way that you can measure it is when you hear parents start saying innovate, collaborate, inspire back to you, or actually Bill Reimer used to say this: when parents are using your mission statement against you, you know you're doing something right, ironically. You know, in other words, when a parent says to you, you know, that doesn't sound very collaborative or inspiring, this particular lesson,
right?
You know you're doing something right, ironically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I really like getting it down to three words, because mission statements, to me, were always mush.
Right.
Nobody ever could remember them. Nobody ever knew exactly what it meant. Mm-hmm. I like getting down and saying this is who we are, this is what we are, and I think the more times we can get those three words, around in front of people.
I'll go get our new logo and bring it down there.
But you know, I think you're right, and I think even the back to your original question, how do you know? this is happening. You know, I'm going to put my old principles hat on for a minute. You know, what does innovation, collaboration, and being inspirational look like in a classroom?
Yeah.
Well, we ought to be able to come up with tangible examples of that. I mean, I know what it looks like, but what I think it looks like and what you think it looks like, what a principal thinks it looks like, what a teacher thinks it looks like, ought to all be the same. And we ought to be monitoring, evaluating, and providing feedback around that in the classroom as well.
Well, the other thing is that...
Or I will eat you.
We picked the happier of the lions.
You know, as you're pointing out, those words can mean different things and can be applied in a variety of different ways. So it doesn't lock any of the teachers, any of the principals in. It just says that, you know, this is kind of like, this is the go to the moon.
Well, Andy, can I go back to your point about that everybody should be saying the same things about what those look like in a classroom? That may be true at certain levels, but for me, one of the things that makes it work is that they're open-ended. You know, Dick was saying because it's short, it works because you can remember it, which I agree with.
Yep.
But I like it because it also, there are three very broad concepts that can be pointing to the future, and we don't actually know exactly what all those look like yet.
Mm-hmm. You're
right.
Over time.
You know, I think, to clarify, and I agree with you, let me say it differently. There are classrooms in my old district, not here, that I would walk into and I could tell you they weren't innovative, they weren't collaborative, mm-hmm. and they weren't inspirational. Mm-hmm. The teacher would stand in front of the class, the desks were in rows, and the students would sit there like this yeah. for 42 minutes. I'm not exaggerating. Mm-hmm. Now, when I say I know what it looks like, what I maybe to give you an example of what it looks like isn't that. And yes, it should be different and individualized and have some academic license, without a doubt. But I also think that this isn't very collaborative, innovative, or inspirational. And there's too much value in that teacher-student interaction for us to allow that to continue.
And I so, think it pushes us, too, though, because those are our expectations, too, when we work with principals. We need to hold ourselves to the fire around, innovate, collaborate, and inspire. I was going to say succeed.
I know. I'm used to seeing that, too.
When we're working with principals. So it's... I mean, that's the part I like, the flexibility,
But to your point, the best learning and the best classrooms don't have a single right answer. And the best teachers don't ask the questions with the single right answer. The best questions are the ones where there's multiple answers and multiple correct answers and require collaboration in order to come up with a better answer than what just the initial question is even asking. And synthesize, application, analyze, present. So I agree with what you're saying. It ought not to look just one way. I don't know if I answered your question.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think, too, we should probably monthly report out on where we are as a board when we create our work plan. So each month talk about where we are, what's happened in our progression as we work on ours as well. No different than we do with principals.
Right. So having said that, should we, I don't know if you want to discuss this anymore, or do we want to kind of move on to just kind of starting that discussion about our board strategy? And I have, I don't know if any of you have had a chance to look through all of our policies yet, but... If you on board docs, you can go through all of our policies, And it just so happens that on in Section A, under Foundations and Basic Commitments, number AFA and AFA-E, there's a evaluation of school board operational procedures and then an actual self-evaluation instrument. So I made copies of those for everybody, and I also made a copy of some governance team objectives and suggestions back from 2012 that I had kind of forgotten about, but it was a list of things that we might want to focus on as a board, and it had like the number of votes. I can't even remember who did all of the votes, if it was our board or what. But it's interesting because like strategic plan was on there as a goal that we had as a board to come up with a strategic plan and common core implementation, leadership structure, some issues. We're talking about technology education K-6, that there was a 5-6 technology teacher that had been eliminated and there was not consistency between the buildings. So anyway, just some things that we had identified as some goals or objectives for us to look at. So anyways, like I said, I've got copies for everybody. I thought might be helpful as we work on a work plan. We start that discussion.
You want me to pass them?
And I think for these, I just made copies for us board members.
That's your copy?
That's my copy, yeah. That's your copy, yeah. Because I figured you can go online and see them. Or you can share with somebody for now, yeah.
Do you want me to send this to you guys right now?
I sent it the last time, but not the revised. So
would you like me to do that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome.
So you have some work plans, and do you want to...
So, basically, we just made a blank copy. How about that? And then Andy made a copy of his work plan to give you an idea of what one in one area might look like. So it's multiple pages long, probably.
Yes. Oh, I see.
Yeah. You didn't do all your goal areas, did you, Andy?
No, I just did one. Open to any feedback, by the way.
There's evaluations coming up soon. So.
This is just the one area.
That's one area. Yeah. And the idea is to be a living working document.
For Andy?
So, you may have on your work plan that you're going to complete a needs assessment, and so you may not know what your next steps are until you get the feedback from that needs assessment. But the idea is to make that a pretty static
document. You need that to top.
And just one blank?
Yes. Just one blank. So there's a couple. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot.
So we should have three and then a blank one, right?
Okay. Three pages of Andy's and then a blank one.
Okay.
Just to give you an idea. Okay. Obviously, we change, that this is the boards or whatever, but...
So, because there's an awful lot of information here, I don't know if it might make sense for us to take this home with you, review it.
And I would compare it to what the strategic plan Andy just sent you.
Congratulations.
Right.
You start to think of ways in which the board fits into that plan. Does that make sense? The strategic plan itself.
That's your homework.
Yeah.
Okay.
How this all ties together, right?
Yes.
Hopefully you're starting to see a lot of overlap, the two of you have been a little bit longer. You can start to see how the things we started last year are morphing and finally coming to life.
So you can look down through this and see a lot of it and just cross
funny,
right off.
Because I've never seen that list before.
Yeah, so you can cross this off. I mean, it's really interesting how you can go down through here and just even glancing at it, just start crossing off that.
Right. I mean, really, all of these areas are being addressed.
Right.
So that's good to see.
Well, it's nice when your arrows align, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
This is nice.
Yes.
Okay. So.
So for homework, you're going to take Andy's strategic plan, start to look at the concept of a work plan, and see where there's kind of connections between our strategic plan and how we might develop a work plan.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Yeah.
And if you have questions,
call your teacher.
I know, what do you think? Maybe Andy would be the best person.
Yeah. Well, I just complimented Andy. I just complimented him on his plan. He lays out the action steps, and then mm-hmm. when he gets to the people that are responsible, the first person that's responsible for his plan working is the superintendent.
Yeah.
To which I said, oh, I think we're all in this together.
That's right.
We keep telling each other that, don't we?
That's right.
All right, so
no
that's
problem.
delete. I think I got the message.
Mike says assistant superintendent first.
Which is okay. I'm leaving on that.
That was
yeah.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
Okay, so now let's move. Well, okay. We're going to move on to the board protocol, and I'd like to maybe try and we want to try and be out of here around 6 o'clock, and maybe have about 5 or 10 minutes at the end to talk about the questions for the ECHS or something. So it gives us plenty of time to talk about our board protocols. What I did, I didn't know if you guys brought your board protocols with you or not. They are in the folder there. Okay, good. Okay, that's all right. Have it in case you didn't bring it. So I have the original one, and then here's a revised one. Looks like you guys all have originals, sorry. There's two more, one for the revised and Dick. Here's one for, make sure I have a revised one somewhere. I will have to. You guys all have a revised one now?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let me open.
Do you have one, Sue? We can share.
I've got mine on here, okay. So I can look at that.
Or I can go make a copy if you need it to write.
I have two.
You have two? Oh. Okay, then I'll take it. I did make the right numbers. All right. So, again, kind of going back to what I said at the beginning, it seemed like the conversation that we had when we had our training with Bill, whenever that was, not too long ago. A lot of the questions had to do with, on the original one, number 6, 7, and 8, which was communication between staff and board and following the chain of command and how personnel complaints and criticisms received by the board or its individual members would be directed to the superintendent. And so Ashley had, Ed and I had some conversation on these items, and Ed came up with a few suggestions to change that area, and the more we talked about it, I thought it might make sense to just go ahead and add a communication section. So on that revised one, you'll see we have the general governance team up to 5, mm-hmm. and then where there used to be a 6, 7, and 8, now we have a new communication section. And so just wanted to throw this out and start some discussion in this area. So number one is actually, there's no change to number one. I just put that up on the top because I thought it's important that we're all on the same page here, that if we're out in the community or in a building, we're hearing complaints or criticisms, comments, whatever, it's important that we share those with Diane so that she may very well be aware of all of this stuff, but if she's not, she needs to know mm-hmm. if somebody's making a complaint about something. It doesn't mean that she's going to be taking care of every little complaint, but she does need to be aware of that. So that was one reason why I put that up at the top. Second one is talking about how when we're out and about, especially with staff in our district here, that we're not really supposed to initiate communications regarding school district business or personnel complaints and criticisms directly to the staff members. Such communication should be directed to the superintendent, who will then, within a timely manner, respond directly to the board member initiating the communication. So if a teacher comes up to you with a concern or complaint, by all means, we need to listen. We need to understand what that complaint is. But then we need to direct them to where that problem can be solved. And let Diane know about it so that she can also follow up and let us know what the process is for taking care of that or what the reasoning is behind the issue, all that kind of stuff. And so it also says that we agree to follow the chain of command by referring staff to the person who can properly address the issue. So I think we need to have some conversation about this, because there's some, you know, I mean, sometimes there's gray area, I guess, but I think it's something we need to make sure that we're all on the same page and that we understand why we have this in here. And maybe I'll back up a little bit, because I did talk to OSBA. Kathy Lasota is our liaison for our district, and just talked to her in general about chain of command and what we should do as board members. You know, explained how we have new board members who are well respected in the community, and so people are very willing to reach out to you and say, hey, you know, I don't like what's happening here. How come we do it like this? And it's real hard sometimes to listen and not respond and not say, well, let me check into that, or let me see if I can get an answer for you, you know. And really the purpose for being a board member is to be a visionary for the district and to help make sure that we're following our policies and to support our district and support education for all of our students. It's not to solve the problems of the district. And so the best way to handle those complaints is to try and educate those people as to what that chain of command is and how those problems are solved, you know, by going to the people who can solve the problem.
So when you're saying going to the superintendent, mm-hmm. So we don't tell them that they should go to their principals first?
No, you do.
Oh,
you do.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
But it's just, I think it's
like
important to
let Diane
know.
We should let Diane know.
Let Diane know.
Not that, them. Yeah. Not to refer them to Diane.
Right.
Refer them to there, and then we let you know.
I mean, really, the first question is, if they come and ask you, you know, they've got a problem or something, the first thing you should do is, who have you spoken with about this? You know, if they have a problem with the teacher, have you talked to the teacher? You know, no. Well, then, why don't you start by trying to talk to the teacher? Let me know how it goes.
I had an incident with an outside person, not a, you know, like, and that's what I did. I told them that they needed to go to the teacher first.
Right.
And then if they weren't satisfied, to go to the principal.
Yep.
And then, you know, kind of, and I can't even remember, it was like 2 weeks ago, and I can't even remember what the situation was, but it was one of those situations like they wanted to bring it to us.
Right.
Like at a meeting, and I said, no, you should not do that.
Right.
Because
it's, if you haven't been a school board member, you don't really know.
Right.
I mean, you have your perceptions of what a school board does, and you think, well, they run the school district. No, not really, you know. That's a great example. So,
I think there will be those times that, because of the what the question is, that we'll need to go directly to Diane and let her find that appropriate place.
Yep.
Again, I'm hoping that's clear, because that would be a preference for me and some examples that I would have.
Right.
The teacher part of it, those I don't have any problem, you know, referring. But and then it's the follow-up to make sure. I think that has to be done very carefully, because, again, we'll get a reputation that we won't listen.
Right.
And so I think that's imperative.
Mm-hmm.
When you and I talked, I broke two out.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is that I think the timely response needs to be in both one and two by the appropriate persons.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, maybe we could just have a separate item in this communications and say for all types of communication, timely response is expected.
Yeah, I just wrote down the superintendent will respond directly to the board member, initiating the communication within a timely manner.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question about this? Is the question is about what we communicate to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, what if the person requests anonymity? Is that acceptable to you, or should we say, no, if I'm going to forward this, I need to be able to use your name?
Couple ways. I typically don't, with anonymous complaints, I don't do much with them. I normally let, depending on what it is, if you can't attach a name to it, then I struggle with the value of the complaint. Now, that being said, there are sometimes things that come up that lend itself to that we've had in the past. So we just kind of have to use discretion. So I would say just call me. This person has asked to remain anonymous because X, Y, and Z. That makes it difficult for me to get back to that person. You're going to have to get back to that person if it ends up that way. But we could kind of talk through the complaint individually.
Okay.
But if it's over like a homework assignment or something like that,
yeah,
I wouldn't be a fan of it being anonymous. But certainly if it's something that... certainly if it's a complaint, too, that levels out to that legal level, we need a name attached to it as well.
Well, I'm just asking because I've found a couple things about complaints. One, people are going to prefer to go to who they know.
Right, sure.
Rather than the chain of command. And two, there's going to be things coming in that people want to stay anonymous. And I think what we're trying to say here is we need to encourage people to go through the chain of command.
Right.
And you're at least encouraging people to put their name on complaints, which makes sense to me, too.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I've told people before, you know, if you ask me to keep something in confidence, your name in confidence, there isn't any way we can really get back to you on this. So if you have a complaint and if you feel strongly about this, then you need to step up a little bit on it. But again, there are situations where...
Yeah, I can think of a couple oddballs in my career that I can get why,
right.
But it's not the norm. Typically, and I've said the same thing. If I receive an anonymous letter from a parent about a principal, I'll sit down with the principal, let them read it, because I think they need to know and understand what's out there. But from my end, there's no action taken if I don't have anyone that I'm reporting that back to.
And I think a large amount of this can be procedural. I can think of an awful lot of situations where they're just asking, leave my name out of it, but what is the procedure or what is this?
Right.
And I can live in that, but I, same way with letters, I would not, I would not honor the letter, because again, if you're not going to give me more information, I can't deal with it.
Yeah, right. I think sometimes there's a difference between a question and a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody has a question and says, I've got a question, why did you do this? I really don't want you to bring my name up.
Mm-hmm.
You get some information, but if somebody comes in and says, hey, I really don't like, then that may be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sitting here trying to think about different situations, what if somebody says, hey, I want to have lunch, I'd like to sit down and talk to you about a couple of things in the school district tomorrow at lunch?
Right. Is that like on an individual basis? Because the community members wanted to go out with me. Well, actually, I know some met with Ed about the community concerts, and then Herb Richardson's one of the trustees of the foundation. He's like, I'd like to sit down and talk to you about some issues that we want to make sure we're all on the same page. And so I went out to lunch with them and shared that with Diane, and at the end said, I listened, and I said, now I think the next move is go ahead and schedule a meeting with Diane.
Right.
Because there's been a lot of changes over the past couple years, and so now I think everybody's been in their spot for a while, and it's a good time to let's revisit it and make sure we're on the same page. So that was, I think it's fine. That's really what we're here for, to, especially with the community. With staff, if staff wants to talk, if they want to initiate and talk to you, that's fine. You can always listen to them. I mean, we want their input, we want to listen to them.
Right.
It's just, you listen to them, you share with Diane that you've met with them, that there's concerns, and you encourage them to go where they need to go to get resolution. So, I think, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So Ed, how about afterwards? I can send this out, this revised one, and then make some comments.
Sure.
Can you open files from an attachment and an email?
I type this up and I save this. And I could send this to you.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
That would be great.
Good.
Right? Y'all done with it?
You're learning. You're learning.
Now, whether you get it or not, you can open it. That's a whole other story. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep, we'll have to revise our mission.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's going to be part of our, you know, I mean, that's going to be part of a lot of stuff here. So, because again, this, you know, these operating, I think we voted on these back in 2012.
Yeah.
And they're part of board policies, so they need to be amended and revised. And probably, you know, I think that's, when we get to our strategy, I think every year you review your protocols. And has that something happened that makes you want to change something and make it more clear? So we will do that. Let's see.
And I think the longer the more familiar we get with each other, the easier this will be. Right.
Yes.
Now it's a struggle because, again, we've got different personalities and
right.
different approaches.
Right.
And I'm talking to myself too. So, but I think that's the challenge now for us to get through the next couple of months and get so we know.
And right. I think it's also important for us to acknowledge that we're going to stumble along the way.
What was the word you're going to use? Stumble. Yes,
I caught it too.
So, do you feel comfortable with me talking about yesterday?
Sure.
In general, so so a group of teachers actually reached out to Dick and wanted to meet with him as a function of a department meeting.
Right.
We kind of had a conversation, and I said, I think that, you know, would probably be appropriate going to the principal first, you know,
right.
kind of thing. So I think, you know, certainly being a teacher here, it's going to be a tough.
It is.
Right. And I recognize, and I told Diane, because we talked, and then some time passed, and we talked again yesterday afternoon. But it was like, you know, phone call, email. It was just like this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I told her, I said, I would not go to a building without letting her know, without letting the principal know, and because, you know, that's not right.
And really, when I was talking to the lady at OSBA, you know, going to departmental meetings, she said that's a big no-no.
Right.
You know, she says that just violates the whole chain of command purpose. And again, you know, she said it's different. You're in the grocery store, you see a teacher, they pull you aside. Hey, you know, I just want to let you know something. You need to listen to that, you know. Mm-hmm. But.
Well, how does
I think it'll just keep serving, you know, that's
right.
Yes.
Interesting.
But somehow you also need to be able to be open to listen. And, and people, whether they're teachers or people in the community, need to be able to find the method and the conduit of communication that they're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. Because if you shut those off, and I think they can be done in an appropriate way. And I think, you know, you get all the right people involved, you get the chain of command involved and all those kinds of things. But I think you also have to try to work to make sure that you hear what people say, that you don't want to shut off and not listen.
Right.
Because I think that
creates... And that's where that feed... That's where the, you know, making sure that you're kept in the loop. You know, so that people talk to you, they have complaints, you refer them to the right person, but you want to make sure that they feel like it's getting resolved.
Yeah.
You know.
And so, when we do that, there's been a time where I've told someone to go directly to Diane, okay, because in my mind, it was an issue that needed to go directly to her,
right.
okay? Whereas the other time, I might refer them to the teacher, and that goes that way, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So at that point, do we follow back up with them, or do we follow up with Diane and the teacher? How, you know what I'm saying?
Normally, if I know, I feed back to you.
Yes, you
so
do.
So, I did not send it yesterday. I told you I was going to. The person who came and did the public speaking, I need to feed back, Luke, now that the staff is back and we kind of have a plan. to deal with that to all of you to know what that is. But
okay.
If it comes through me,
We get it, yes.
Yeah, I typically...
So what if it goes through the teacher or the principal? Should we check with them?
Well, if you tell me that that's taken place, then I always check with the principal that way. Hey, you know, can
just
you check on me
sure.
and make sure that these two have talked? And if they haven't, would you ask the teacher to reach out to the parent? Or
So then once we've referred them on, we shouldn't make contact.
You can.
After that point, when we're talking about timely response here, that's
mine
what
to you, I believe.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, if you'd happen to see them, you know, by all means, say.
Okay.
Hey,
yeah.
By the way,
did you hear back?
Okay.
Awesome. Okay.
And just, I guess it's not related to that, but a lot of times, if I need to meet a new parent, I will ask. You know, when they find out I'm the superintendent, I will say, you know, well, how are we doing for you? You know, what would you? Okay. How's your experience been? Or whatever, and sometimes, you know, at that point I get a lot of information, so then I follow back up, but I typically follow back up with that parent and see if I've helped in that situation, whatever it might be.
Okay.
So, but I think this is from my feedback to you.
Okay.
Did you have a question, Brian? Were you going to make a comment about this?
I guess I was reacting to... You were talking to somebody and they said going to departmental meetings is a no-no. And that raised a question in my mind about what kinds of visits to schools are good and so on, and what kinds you should stay away from. And then the other question is how much of that needs to be communicated to you or Diane or whatnot.
Right.
For instance, when we were at, both of the schools, we've had school board meetings at so far, they've said... Basically, they issued an open invitation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Remember?
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of took that at face value. You guys can come and visit. We'd be thrilled to have you visit.
Right.
But maybe they were just being polite. I don't know. Maybe,
No.
They
we are welcome in the buildings. It's just, you don't go in the building with a purpose of I'm bringing in a complaint, or I'm coming in because I think there's problems here. You know, you're coming in to just... To listen to what their goals are, get an update from them. You know,
walk
how
around.
How are things going in the school? Yeah, visit the building, go into some classrooms, and observe. You know,
so all that's good, but that should still be
good.
Communicated to who?
I think both of us. I mean, I like to know if somebody's. You know, I'm really, as the board president, I'm the liaison between our board and Diane. Mm-hmm. Diane's the liaison between the administration staff. And us, and we're also the liaison between the community. You know, I mean that's one of our biggest roles. So it's just nice. It's nice to know. You know, copy me on. And I definitely, when I do building visits, I'll let Diane know. Hey, I'm starting to schedule building visits. And I don't
Which
always
is a
know
bit
the
different
exact
than
days.
The past. I guess in the past, the superintendent set those up. It's my opinion. You know, make it work with your schedule and the principal's. Schedule. I like to know you're there, but the principals know to take your phone calls and return
calls.
So that
would be arranged between you and the principal.
Yeah, and that's like I'm doing that right now. I'm sending out emails to I've got a little schedule. I'm charting this building and send out here's my dates that I've got available. Do any of these fit with your schedule? And I usually try and keep it to about an hour at the most. You know, talk for a little bit and then walk around the building. They've got a lot of stuff to do, so I don't want to take a lot of time.
And then she just sends me a copy of her schedule with where she's going on Mondays.
Yeah.
And
so
Diane, if I'm going with her, she could just include my name. So then that way I don't have to double, because I'm going to go when she goes.
Right.
I'm just going to, she's going to send the dates to
me. So then if you're sending something to Diane and you just want to copy me, then I know you're there. And you know, and it's really, I mean, I don't have to know, but it's just kind of nice to know, oh, yeah, you were in the building too, and... You know, that way I can say, what'd you think about it, or, you know, whatever. So,
Well, that way, too, you can kind of watch that you're not going within a day of each other.
Yeah.
Because that sometimes with evaluation and everything else that's going on, that we're giving principals room to breathe, too.
Right.
But they like to see you, the staff likes to see you come in.
Yeah.
They like to know that you've seen what's happening in the classrooms and in the building.
And I always laugh. So I was in church one day, and there's a family, and one of the boys was guiding us through the building when we were at Mill Valley a couple years ago. And so it's like, Mom, that's that old lady I was talking to you about that came to our building. Thanks a lot.
the old lady.
Yeah. So.
What'd they think about us? A couple old codgers walked through there.
So I guess on the moving back to this now, number three is very similar to number two, except it's talking about communications with members of the community. So again, it just kind of says how we need to make sure that we're following the chain of command, and really we're trying to educate our community members, you know, that we're not here to take care of their problems, we're here to help send them to the right person.
This takes you back to Bill saying we're here because we're problem solvers.
Yes.
Right?
So, yes. Sometimes you have to just bite your tongue. So, yeah. I'm going to let you try and take care of your own problem.
Yeah.
Pretend like you're a parent with your kids, you know. And then number four, and this one, Ed, I changed from when we were talking. And part of the reason was kind of what you were saying. As we get to know each other better, I think, I'm probably getting ahead of myself. But one of the things that Ed and I were talking about is having direct conversations between the superintendent and a board member. If there's issues or concerns, that should be direct conversation. Or if Todd, let's say Todd has a problem, he says some board member is just hounding him with questions, you know. And so one option is to say that Todd is going to just address it directly with the board member. Well, I thought maybe it would just make better sense to say, to write down that I'm the liaison between the board and administration, Diane's the liaison between administration, staff, and board, and that open and professional discussion is encouraged and respected. And as we get to know each other, I think we'll know that Todd can just go directly to Amy if mm-hmm. Amy's bugging him. I guess that's something that we can decide. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of throwing it out. Do we want to have something really specific in these protocols saying that it's direct communication? I mean, the bottom line is, if there's an issue going on, I need to know. Mm-hmm. And Diane needs to know if there's an issue between board member and staff or administration.
I guess that
but the conversation should be, I don't, yeah. like yeah. Diane's not going to say, Sue, I don't like what somebody's doing, call them up. No. I mean, that we don't want that to happen, But if we have the conversation so that I'm aware that there's an issue, and we say, okay, well, let me know how you work it out. If I need to get involved, let me know, but otherwise.
Well, and I'll only speak for myself, obviously.
Yeah.
With Bill's assessment of myself, it is much cleaner early in our relationship to have it be a little more specific.
Okay.
And then as we become more comfortable, right. can be revised and looked at and made more general.
Right.
Because right now, to me, it looks like it's fairly specific.
Okay.
And I'm okay with that.
Okay.
But I think if that, how specific do you want to be? And again, mm-hmm. I don't think we want to turn off lights and
right.
check heat.
Exactly.
So I think some of that is done because of the young board members you have. And,
right.
Let's put myself in that. And it's just right now, and if I can function the wrong way, if I can stay adherent to that, then loosen it up. It's a habit. I just have to change it. I have to change the habit.
Okay.
Gotta get it smoking. No, I don't.
For me, it looks pretty. You're talking about number four.
Yeah.
In particular, it looks pretty good. I think I understand what you're saying, that if there's an issue, first we should try to work it out one-on-one. Mm-hmm. But if number four, we know that you're the liaison if it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
I think so. I mean, I think, I guess this would be a good one, that if you've got some suggestions, if you've got recommendations where it could be reworded,
I think you leave it alone and for me, mm-hmm. it probably means that I'm going to be making two phone calls, one to you, one to Diane, and right. I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I just got to get into that.
Right.
I got to get into that.
And like
habit.
You said, by this time next year, it might be one phone call. As we all get comfortable with each
problem.
Other, and yeah,
not that it's a problem now, but it won't be near.
Worked out the kinks.
Yeah.
Right.
Got the mechanism oiled up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, I certainly have no issue if there's a problem picking up the phone and calling
right.
whoever.
Oh, yeah, right.
And certain, if you want to be informed, hey, I had a conversation with Ed today, mm-hmm. and we kind of mapped out that he shouldn't come to the building on Fridays.
Yeah, right. Something
then
like
we,
that.
We work that out. I can. Right. I mean, I can do that if that's.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so. Just because, you know, and a lot of times I was using a lot of examples with Ed just at work. I mean, there's only two of us at the office where I work at the foundation, and if I learn of something and I don't tell Dave, and then he hears about it later, someone's like, you know what? It would have made more sense if I had just let you know then. That something came up with this trustee or something like that, you know. So, again, not to try and be big brother, but just to make sure that we're all on the same page. And
yeah, the other thing is, one thing that I really liked prior is when one board member sent the treasurer a question, they sent it to all.
Uh-huh.
So that we replied all so that everyone had the same information. So
and so if somebody else thought that question, they had the answer already. And
especially when Todd goes to do the forecasts. I remember last year there were lots of questions. So it's helpful if you reply all.
Yes.
Put your question on the email.
Yeah, I'm not very good at that.
Well, in most cases, I will try and get
in most cases, I'll respond to all, even if you, unless I think that it's a question that
personal,
is right. personal nature or whatever.
Right.
If it's a 5-year forecast, I'll respond to everybody anyway. So.
That's what I do as well. But just so, I thought that was a pretty effective way of making sure everyone was seeing and hearing the same message.
It also means your mailbox is filled up very quickly.
Yeah, but it was neat because you could follow the conversations too.
Right.
You know, like what I like is the main question, and then you'd come back and say something, and somebody'd say, well, what if this happened? You know, like it. Mm-hmm. And it was nice because you can follow the whole conversation through and go, oh, well, see, I would have thought that same thing too, but now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that was.
See, so you went from technical board members last year to challenging electronic people now. You got to adjust too.
And I'm happy to do that. We can communicate in a different way. I just know that, and I try to, if I've had a conversation with someone during the week, I try to hit that in one of my answers in my weekly update so that everyone has that. I make a note right by the computer, whatever it is, like, I don't know, if there's an event going on that or something like that, I try to add that in the update so everyone has that same information.
Right.
So.
Well, I'm maybe getting a little confused now. When you first started this discussion, it sounded like you would prefer that things go directly between two people. But now it sounds like you're saying, at least for the time being, you kind of do want to be in the loop.
Well, I mean, I think Diane and I will converse. I mean, we talk probably more often than the rest of you, you know. And so, I think that I'll get updated that way, really.
Right. I think that probably update comes from me as opposed to you. Is that what you're?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I mean. Not really anticipating a lot of discussions like that, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think from my perspective, the issue we were talking about that probably brought up your question was the one where potentially the treasurer has an issue with a board member or the superintendent has. If that's something that I think is significant enough, I'm going to talk to the board member, but I'm going to let the board president know that we had this conversation because it's the board president's part of her job or his job is to ensure that the board is functioning properly. So I think that's the point of that part of the protocol is so that the board president is aware that there is an issue, even though I can maybe fix it by speaking to the board member individually.
Well, I'm glad you put this in here, Sue, because I need to be reminded of things like that. My tendency is just go to whoever and not think about, oh, other people should be informed of this. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it's good to remind me, maybe to communicate more broadly rather than less. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, because we don't, you know, we really don't see each other that often.
Yeah.
And when we're together, it's a board meeting, and, you know, by the time you get done with the meeting, you want to get back home and all that kind of stuff. And so it's it's easy to just copy all or send everybody. So, well, how about if Ed, if you send me yours, and I can maybe I'll try and work those into my revise, send them back and forth between us, and then send them out to everybody,
sure.
And then see what, and then we can maybe try and finalize this. And I think what we did last time is we passed a resolution at a board meeting to approve these, and so we would do something similar once we're all in agreement of the wording on this, and okay. Move forward that way. Mm-hmm. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Because I know I don't think there was any other areas that were of concern when we went over these with Bill at the board meeting.
I have one that I think Dick addressed it. The mission statement here will be revised to be the same as the district.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then
yes.
What about the vision?
I don't know if we really even have one.
We kind of just axed that whole for the simple fact that no one can repeat them. We want something, do you know what I mean, that's meaningful. And
Right.
Well, I always thought that it was redundant.
There is actually a dip. I mean, there's a purpose for each one.
So if you're here, here's how it was defined for me. If you're going to California, that's your vision. Your mission is how you get there.
Right.
Now, Andy will tell you it's the opposite. But I was always raised that.
You're right. You're right, Donna.
I may go by train.
Sorry,
you
Andy.
You may go by bike. You may go by airplane.
See, to me, that's the work plan.
See that?
Yes.
See, that's why I say cut it all out.
Right.
Make it what we're about, and let's get to the work. That's kind of why we went the way we did.
That would be fine with me, because
I can't remember
either of these two.
We're going to quiz you after a while.
Right. You only have to remember.
If you don't get 80%, then we'll return.
Three words.
Right. Three words. That's it.
They are.
By the third year. No. Okay.
Oh. He's quizzing me already.
What are three words?
Inspire, collaborate.
Innovate.
I could not come up with those are backwards. Innovate, collaborate, inspire.
Right there.
Ha ha, I passed.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I want that cheat
sheet. Let's move on to our last item now.
And I do want one of those, though.
I know, that is cute.
Uh-huh. I do want one of those.
The last thing that we're going to discuss today was the community outreach plans regarding the early college high school.
Okay.
And part of this, I know, Ed and Dick were really interested in getting out into the community, and as both of them are somewhat retired, I guess, they have a little bit more free time, and thought that they could reach some people in our community that don't have children in the system.
Each one's a stack.
Oh, okay. Thank you. We don't have kids in the school system, and may not be getting the same information that parents get, and might just not be as aware of what STEM is and some of the newer things in education. So,
okay. So what I did for you was made you a copy of the early college high school, and on the back side, one side is about early college, the other side is about STEM.
Good.
And this is a handout that went to parents when Kathy first met with them. I also made for you an entire copy of the grant. So as you're looking through, I know I've sent this out before. I sent it out in a harder to read version. I moved it over to a Google Doc so I could give it to you. There might be things in there that say, like, Michelle uploaded on such and such date. Just kind of ignore that. Those are our own notes. But that kind of gives you the comprehensive piece. What I thought I would do tonight, and we only have about 5 minutes, so we'll start it, and then you can follow up, maybe email me, is just come up with questions that you're hearing. And what I'd like to do is make you, as a board member, a one-pager, hopefully, that you can kind of study, keep with you for people who have questions. That's kind of an easy reference document for you. Mm-hmm. Does that sound fair?
Yes.
And then I'll kind of maybe jot them down on this notepad.
And then the other thing would be to talk about our plans to actually go out and share them with the community and
right.
you know, what do we feel, you know, do you feel comfortable if Ed and Dick say, hey, I'm going to, you know, every Friday morning I'm going to go to Bob Evans or this place or that place, or I'm going to go to the Out to Halcyon or go to, you know,
right,
different places and
talk to
people.
Do a message training. So what we want to do is get that core team together and make sure that we're saying all the same thing.
Right.
So our pamphlets still are not back, but hopefully they will be back soon, and they will drive kind of that message piece. I think I talked to you both yesterday about kind of hitting that. We definitely want Kathy, Andy, myself heavily embedded in that process.
Right.
And we'd like to run it similar to a levy campaign, hitting all the small groups as well as large groups, and then identifying people who are missing off of that list, possibly the group you and I talked about yesterday.
Sure.
So,
And I think the other side of the public needs to see some of their faces.
Right.
And again, right. I would encourage, you know, go on in pairs and get the ones that she's named, you know, paired up. I mean, that's the other, is to get them out in the public.
Yeah, I was getting a little worried there because I thought it might end up on her nose.
Sorry about that.
No.
Okay. So, do you guys want to? I'm not leaving the group. I'm just coming over here so I can write. Kind of give me questions that you've been asked, or things that you're still not clear on that I can help provide some clarification for.
Okay. One thing that I've heard quite often is that whatever credits that they get, they hear they're only transferable to certain colleges and not all colleges. So that was kind of hard for me to answer.
So, which is true of our current dual enrollment.
Okay.
So dual enrollment, there's a contract with all state institutions that they will honor the credits of those other state institutions that are in that cohort.
Okay.
So if you go private, it's no different than AP. They can set up their own parameters for if they're going to accept that credit or not accept that. So if you take the course at Columbus State and you go to Ohio State, it's 100% transferable.
Okay.
If you go to Columbus State, get your dual enrollment, and you go to Capital has the choice as the private institution to accept or deny the credit.
Okay, so private institutions are the ones that make the decision whether they want to accept it, and the public ones, it is transferable. Okay.
But that would also be, it's only public institutions inside Ohio.
Ohio, right? Yes, yeah. Okay. That's correct,
so
right?
If they go to Indiana,
then that's not transferable.
They go to
It's up to that institution.
So public institutions in Indiana, it becomes a decision. It's not that they automatic.
Right.
Just the public ones in Ohio.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is no different than our current dual enrollment structure.
Hasn't changed in 20 years.
Right.
Okay.
So currently, my son is taking a dual enrollment class through Clark State at our high school, and his school in Illinois is taking it for credit.
Okay.
That was their choice.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, one thing that we have found is that, like with the AP classes, you get hours in a subject area. You don't get credit for a specific class.
Right.
So you get hours in the history department, but you don't get
two credits.
You know, you don't get the you don't get credit for a Civil War course.
Right.
Okay, you get history hours, but not a specific course.
Now, that's not this. This is the AP classes.
Right.
Okay.
So, but a school like Capital could say, you've taken a specific class. We're not going to give you credit for that class, but we will give you hours in mathematics.
Towards it. Okay. Okay.
All right.
I think people have asked, are there extra fees to go to this temp school?
I've heard the question, how long does the grant last, and how is it going to be financed after the grant is up?
And the dovetail on that, what is the $12.5 million? What's it used for? Cost of the college credits. Is it a want or a need? And I think the parentheses around that is the philosophy of why we're doing it.
Oh, I know another one. That the kids can't play sports.
Right.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. The relationship
between band and music.
Right, extracurriculars, after school.
Right,
and then also
everything,
maybe,
yeah. Right, yeah. They
what
say
kind
that
of
they
elective
don't
classes.
Can't do that.
Yeah, elective classes.
This is a question I have. I don't think anybody's asked me, but what is it going to look like down the road? In other words, what's the difference between, say, the next couple of years and then what it's going to grow to be? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Or do you already have, like, a set?
I mean, it's pretty well-defined, but it's limited. I mean, really the sky's the limit, because I think it could evolve as the more partners jump on.
Right.
Okay.
But I can...
Is it sustainable? What additional costs would it be?
So, easy answer for that. I know we're not looking for all the answers, but you had to prove a 5-year sustainability to approve the grant. So, that's
now another thing.
Answer.
Another thing I heard was it's only. This is something that I heard somebody talk about. Well, it's really only for people who don't really want to go to college, that just want to do like engineering.
Right.
That don't really want, you know. And so I don't know how you would put that, Diana, you know, but like not wanting to really go to college, but...
Actually, what is the curriculum and what types of people, what categories?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Going to be used. I think there are some audiences that are going to want to know what is the classroom going to look like? In other words, how is it innovative? You know, what makes this innovative? How is the English class going to be different than the English class at the other one?
And to dovetail on that is just an explanation of what STEM is. You know.
Yeah. And how about hours? Is it the same hours as, you know, the regular high school? And they'll be bused and all that as well? Okay.
Oh, and can they change? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, another question that came to me when I was looking at this is the connection between STEM and early college. Are they always going to be linked in the school, or might they separate? In other words, what if somebody wants early college but they have no interest in science or engineering, like an English major or a history major?
This probably isn't the choice for them.
Always going to be both STEM and early college? Kind of the question I'm asking.
Remember, STEM doesn't necessarily just mean science and technology, but it's an instructional approach that focuses on problems. So while the emphasis is in an engineering math way, that you will see English class look different in that they may be looking at genres of writing or reading, and then start with a common problem that they see in both of those pieces and work towards how they might problem solve and come up with a resolution. So it's about planning, it's about designing, it's about trying it, it's about figuring out what didn't work and then starting that cycle over again in every classroom. It's kind of that model of design thinking.
I guess one way to phrase the question would be, if I had a kid who would like to get college credit, but they know they're not going to be a science or engineering major, should they look into this?
So the answer I can give you is my daughter wants to be a vet, which isn't necessarily a science, but it's science related, I guess, and she's going there.
Okay.
Now, if you're interested in being an English teacher,
maybe not.
Probably not.
And I think that's what we have to catch. And I know that was a big paragraph. Somehow we have to condense that to get that. Because the question's a good question. Now,
Right. I think if I gave you the 4 distinct pathways and what those we're talking about will be helpful.
Right. So like throwing out if somebody wants to be a lawyer.
Oh, probably not.
Well, right. That's yeah. a good, see, that exactly.
Well,
I wouldn't
right.
know.
Right.
I think maybe including something about what our what the main high school or the original high school has to offer, that there are some options there, and you know, I mean, you may not fit here, but make sure you check.
Well, the important thing to remember is our job is a choice, and it's not for everybody, and it
right.
was not intended
right.
to be for everybody,
right.
but it was intended to be a choice for students who didn't want a traditional approach to high school, a more traditional
right.
approach to high school.
Okay.
So,
okay. Got ready to call it quits or yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you have more, how about shoot them to me? And this is what I'll work on while I'm on vacation.
Oh, yeah, it's down in sunny Florida, right?
Yay! Tomorrow.
Okay.
Yay! I'm so excited I can take it.
Okay.
Well, and I just take it. Don't take it.
So reminders for everybody, if and I haven't done it yet, but if you want to go to the Board Leadership Institute May 2nd and 3rd, shoot an email to Todd.
Yep.
I'm going to do that.
You have
and then, it's at the Polaris Hilton.
Oh, it's at Polaris. Okay.
Which one is it?
And then our next work session is tentatively Tuesday, May 6th at 4:35 again to go over the 5-year forecast. So.
And then
next regular meeting is April 6th.
Okay.
Right. What's today? What's today? First,
it's
second,
it's all day Friday.
14th,
17th. And until
April 17th. April
17th. Yeah, I think they have a lunch on Saturday that ends it.
At Mill Valley.
I'll let you know.
Okay, so do I have a...
Yes.
I have a motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Pleasant, motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call, please.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
What did you say, no one in the adjournment?
Okay, motion carries, and we are adjourned at 6:10. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll let
so
you know about
check your emails,
show.
Guys, okay?
Okay.
Before it came over here.
Good job. Oh, and your books. I should have told I do have a couple. There's a couple good ones. Check out page 75. 75 and 91 and 92. I have them turned. And this is a long time ago that I read that, and I opened up like, oh, yeah, that is kind of good information. Okay.
Then you just spoil it.
Right.
Go get it done.
That's right.
Go.
Yes. Have fun. We'll call Andy every day, okay?
Yeah, he's a little nervous. I sent an email to principals and I said, just to let you know, I'm leaving. But this is not an opportunity to ask Andy for everything. Because I told Todd to say no.
Does your son need change?
Funny. Is it the first one?
Diane, have fun.
I plan on
relax and enjoy.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Have a good time.